Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday.
Jaguars Thursday.
JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, and Tony Baselli bring you the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank.
Touchdown, Jacksonville!
Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, begins right now.
Welcome into Jaguars Thursday on the Jaguars Radio Network, Jaguars.com, and the Jags app. JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, interim head coach Doug Marrone. What's up, guys?
How you doing, JP?
Coach.
Jeff, fantastic, yeah. JP.
Everybody's happy this week, right? After a win.
Holiday season, Jaguars win. Does it get any better than that?
No, I don't think so.
Good.
Yeah?
Let's get one more.
See, I like that attitude. Yes, it could.
Let's get one more.
We'll get to that game coming up this Sunday in Indianapolis. New Year's Day matchup with the Colts. But let's look back a little bit first to this Titans win. It helped knock the Titans out of the postseason run there. The Texans knocked them out for good that night with a win. But being a part of that is nice, and it gave this team a nice boost of confidence that they really needed.
Well, you know, we went into the week and we knew it was a difficult situation, and we knew that Tennessee was going to come in here, obviously with a lot to play for. And we really just tried to focus on playing well in all three phases. And I think that, you know, it showed that this team does have the ability to do it. And this week we've, you know, obviously talked to them about, hey, now that we've shown we have the ability to do it, you know, the one thing about winning football teams, the one trait that they all have is consistency. You know, to go out there each week and play that way well, you know, play well in all three phases. So, you know, for us, you know, even though this is the end, we just want to make sure that, you know, we focus on that, play well, you know, play in the now, win each day, have a good plan, and get ready to go out there and win.
It had to feel good that the first drive, Blake Bortles is perfect, go right down, you score a touchdown, Marquise Lee has a nice catch, but just – to find a rhythm right out of the gate to kind of take maybe everybody's mind off of the uncertainty of what's going to happen.
Right. I think that a lot of times, I can't speak for our players, but I think players in general, when they go out there, their whole focus just comes into basically the performance, you know, of how they're going to play when they go out there. For us, I think early on, what we wanted to establish is we wanted to get to A-Rob early in the game, which we did. We were able to complete that. We wanted to establish an outside running game first, which we're able to do that early on. I was a little bit disappointed that as the game went along, we had a couple of tackle for losses, and then we wanted to make sure that we took the ball vertically down the field deep for the big plays, and we're able to make those plays. And I think when your playmakers have the ability to make those plays, I think things seem to fall into place a little bit easier because all of a sudden now there's more of the field that you have to defend.
You guys were a little bit restricted as far as what you could utilize personnel-wise with the injuries that you've had. But did that kind of fall into the game plan, so to speak? Because, you know, 11 personnel, it forces the Tennessee Titans to play a lot of defensive backs, which, you know, that has been kind of an area of weakness for them. Did that work out okay?
It did work out okay for us. And I think that, you know, whenever you're able to say you know, we knew that early in the week that we had to do that, so we were able to get our 11 personnel package out there and practice it, which I think is important. If things like that happen later in the week, then you might not get the type of practice time you would like. So it actually played well for us because we're able – I'm a firm believer, let's just always keep getting our best players on the field. And, you know, we were able to do that, and that was our best personnel group, and we were able to play in that game. And again, we were fortunate that we matched up well.
Doug Marrone with us on Jaguars Thursday. Every time the Titans scored a touchdown, the offense went right back down the field and answered the call. And that hasn't been the case a lot this year. Just in the situation of a football game like that, that was a real positive for this game. Go right back down the field and punch it down their throat again.
And we were able to do that and get points. I think we were able to get up early. You know, let's not make any mistakes about this. The defense really came up big.
No doubt.
You know, yet they had two running backs that have been running the ball well. They're a big physical team. You know, defensively, we were able to take that away from them. You know, we were also able to take, Delaney Walker, who did score a touchdown in the red zone, but really, you know, for most of the game, we did a very good job on him. He's a catalyst for that team. So the defense did a good job, and it was a point in that game where, you know, you're going up, you're up by one score, we're going up by, you know, two scores. Hey, we got to get this game to a three-score game and let's go. You know, this way now we can rush the passer, make them one-dimensional, take the strength away from them. So I think all those things started to happen. It's like, you know, we didn't want those field goals. We wanted touchdowns to try to get up early to take them out of it. But like you said, we were going back and forth and kept it, you know, the score in a position where, you know, all of a sudden Jalen Ramsey makes a big play, you know, the pick six, but we're able to go up by multiple scores. And I think that's when you started to say, okay, now let's put the, you know, the pedal to the metal and let's shut this thing down.
It's about finding a killer instinct, and it's hard to do unless you've done it a few times, right?
It is. I mean, I think people, you know, we watch the game, we think about it. You know, we've been through it before, either as coaches, players. But I think the players, when you have a young football team and you're going through it, you know, you're always trying to keep that down. And that's what we said during the course of the game. You know, it was still a tight game where they can get enough possessions to go ahead. You know, people said, hey, with this time left, were you thinking about, you know, slowing it down a little bit? And I said, you know what, we're going to keep the rhythm of the offense, keep it going, you know, to a point where the possessions, all of a sudden, they're so low that they can't come back, and that's when we would look to slow the ball down.
Well, and I know the possession that I really liked was at the end of the first half where you guys were able to get a field goal out of that. I mean, that's, you know, hey, be aggressive. I mean, you know, you're 2-12. Why not?
I mean, I don't look at it as much as the 2-12 necessarily. I just looked at it as at a point of, okay, wait a minute. You know, they deferred. We took the ball first. Here we go. We're in a little bit of a tight spot. Let's go ahead and take a shot. See if we can get this ball out a little bit. And then, hey, once it gets out, let's go. We hit the big play to A-Rob down the sideline. I almost had a heart attack running down there to try to get that timeout.
I saw that on film.
Did you see that?
I did see that on film.
I was like,
film.
Holy cow. Oh, my. Oh. I was like, oh. I started running down there. You know, I was like, I almost didn't get out. Timeout. You know, I was huffing and puffing. I'm like, shoot, I got to get my butt in shape. So anyway, we're able to get out there, get the timeout, which I think is a big thing because, you know, when people talk about momentum in the game, gaining an extra possession, gaining momentum, getting some points in that situation is always important. And I think that's a smart way to play football. I think that, you know, create an opportunity for yourself. If the opportunity presents itself, then let's go.
Yeah, it was a 37-yarder to A-Rob. And I was watching on film, and I'm watching A-Rob, and I'm watching somebody else run down the sideline. I'm going,
No, it was more than 37. It had to be about, like, you know, 80 or 90 yards, maybe. I had to run. I mean, it was a little bit longer
uphill
than that.
Uphill both ways.
Uphill. You know, there is a little, you know, grade in the field in that side. Yeah.
You never know.
But you talk about taking away the strength of the Tennessee Titans, mm-hmm. which their strength is, you know, DeMarco Murray and obviously a Heisman Trophy winner, and Derrick Henry is a backup. I mean, two tremendous backs. And to be able to hold them to 58 yards is simply tremendous. You know, and correct me if I'm wrong, Doug, because I mean, as an offensive line coach, you've been able to watch this guy for some time. But watching Avery Jones play, who has been inserted into the starting lineup since Roy Miller ended up on injured reserve, I think over the last couple of weeks he's been playing very well, and I thought in this game he continued to play well.
He really did. I mean, there were times when he wasn't in there. You saw us a little soft on the inside, and I think that just goes to show you what a good job that Avery's done. And, you know, I said this before when I was here last year and the beginning of this year, and, you know, Roy was obviously injured and he was out for the year, but I always thought that Roy Miller was probably the best two-down player that didn't get enough credit, you know, on the inside. And then that's saying a lot of someone that sees inside players, you know, daily all the time. And then for Avery to get up in there and really work, and he's been working extremely hard. For a big man, he is really athletic now. He can move. You know, we always call it, hey, big man running. You know, you watch a big man running. It's something like when I was running down the sideline to call a timeout. It was, you know, you remember that.
That was kind of a loop.
But for Avery getting back to him, I really think he stepped up, and he's a heck of a player. He's a good athlete. I think he's someone that really hasn't even reached his potential of how good he can be. And I think you're starting to see that now. So for him, it's really important, again, that he finishes up strong, and he's been playing well here down the stretch.
You touched on Jalen Ramsey earlier, but to the end of not playing up to the potential he will, you know, he hasn't yet. But, boy, he's played really well the last 2 weeks. Got the interception, 4 tackles, 4 passes defensed. I think that's 9 passes defensed the last 2 weeks. I don't think we've seen that around here in a long time.
Yeah, and I don't know, like, when people say, well, you know, has he reached whether people want to say potential or where he's going. Yeah, I will say this, that, you know, I've been around a lot of, you know, Pro Bowl DBs. I've been, you know, I worked for Herman Edwards, who, you know, coached Dale Carter, who's, you know, one of the better corners in the league. And the one thing about Jalen, the one thing that he has, and I don't think people can see this if they're not around him daily or don't know him well, he's probably the one of the most competitive people that I've ever seen, really. And I think that his ceiling on how good he can be, I really don't know. I don't know if you can compare him to anyone. I just when people say, how good do you think he's going to be? I don't know. There's no telling, because he's really just, you know, he's starting to come along and starting to play well. I mean, he's a guy that, you know, could easily be the defensive rookie of the year with the way he's playing. We've matched him up on Armani Cooper. You know, Amari Cooper, we're going to match him up again here on T.Y. Hilton. You know, we're matching this guy up who's in his first year playing against these guys, and he's doing a heck of a job. They're actually, you got to be careful. A lot of teams are doing things so that they will not let him, you know, press up and go, because he's a longer guy. He has really good press skills and man coverage, and he can stop someone on the line, and he can win early, and he can also win late. So he's an exciting player.
What do you make of all the swagger that he has, or off the field, all that?
When you play corner and you play left tackle,
if
this
it makes
league,
you tick, let it roll.
Let it roll. But, you know, you need that now. I mean, people are going to go after you. People are going to attack you. You need to be able to, you know, recover quick, forget things, and come back the next play. You know, because – and then, again, I always say the corner position, when that ball goes vertical down the field, everyone knows who's winning and losing. Sometimes on the inside, not many people might know who's winning the battle, losing the battle. But as soon as that ball's thrown, they know exactly who's going up against each other.
Yeah, thinking about it, over the last two games, he's had his hand on a ball three times each game. You know, so if he makes a play on that, I mean, conceivably it could have been six interceptions in two games. I don't know if that's ever been done in the National Football League. I'm not saying that it happened or that it will happen, but just to be in position to have your hand on six balls in two games is unbelievable.
It really is. I mean, he can get his hand. And I always say, you know, now I always tell those guys, I go, hey, now we know why you're not a wide receiver.
Yeah.
But at the same point, he does have great ball skills. He really does. So, you know, to see him pick that ball and have that, and, you know, he's going to get his opportunities now. I mean, you know, when you're matching a player like Jalen Ramsey up on the best receiver, I mean, you know, they're going to throw the ball to their best receiver. Now it's just a matter of who's going to win. So he'll have opportunities, and people will keep going at him until finally they say, you know what? And we played against some corners when we were in New Orleans with Drew and stuff. We say, hey, you know what, Drew? Don't even look to that side of the field. Let's just go work this guy on the right side. So, you know, it's something that he has to go out and compete every day. But he's that type of player, and we're fortunate enough to have him. And we're gonna keep riding him.
Let's come back and look forward. How about that?
All right. Finally.
Yeah, finally.
Let's
Why
go.
Not?
Living in the past.
We're going to move forward.
I love it.
17 is coming up, and we'll look at the Colts defense. How does the Jags offense match up this week? This is Jaguars Thursday on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, interim head coach Doug Marrone. Jaguars Thursday continues. We move forward now. Week 17.
Move forward.
We'll wrap up the season at Lucas Oil Stadium against the division rival Indianapolis Colts. Let's start with this Jaguars offense against the Colts defense. Running back situation seems a little better today. Guys limited this week. Ivory's been out there. Denard Robinson has been out there. I know you guys want to run the ball. And what's the status right now of those two?
That's good. I mean, you know, obviously they're out on the field, so they're working to come, you know, on coming back. And, you know, everyone wants to come and play this game, which is important. And we'll just see how it goes during the week. I mean, you know, obviously it's encouraging to see players wanting to get back on that field. Both of those players have been, you know, fighting, you know, little things here and there. So, you know, we'll see how it goes during the week and see where we are when it comes Sunday.
Well, the Colts defense against the Oakland Raiders had some moments where they struggled against the rushing attack. Then the NFL people always say that it's a copycat league week to week. Might you be able to gain some insight as to what those plays were and can you do them again and see if they fixed it?
Well, I think, you know, you have to, you know, people are going to test you each week to make sure you fix it. I think, you know, Oakland did a good job. Oakland's, you know, they have a very big offensive line. They're very stout. They're very physical. They're going to run the football. Latavius Murray's a heck of a player. And, you know, they were able to get some plays in there and do a really nice job. They played at home. They played in Oakland. So, again, we'll look to do the things that we feel that we can do well, that gives us an advantage. We'll look to take advantage of some things. Just I'm sure as they're looking at us thinking, hey, we got to make sure we stop these things. So, you know, we feel that, you know, we match up, you know, pretty good up front. We know they're going to be ready to play. So, you know, our guys up front have to play well. We got to obviously run the football, protect the quarterback, and then we've got to win the matchups on the outside. And like I said before, you know, we like the way our receivers are going right now. So, you know, they got to continue to keep winning those matchups.
Eric Walden has 10 sacks for the season. What kind of problem is he?
He's a disruptive player. You know, he'll go ahead. He's you know, he might jump on the inside. He might spin on you. But the one thing you do know about him, he's coming 110% all the time. He's giving everything he has when he's you know, rushing the quarterback or defending a run. He's very strong in the run game, does a nice job of pointing on the outside. I like the player. He plays extremely hard. I think you respect players like that. And he's a good football player, and he's someone that we got to make sure we know we got to be able to control.
One thing he is going to do, just like Eric Williams, who played right tackle for the Dallas Cowboys for many years, he's going to headbutt you. I mean, that's the style that he plays. Eric Walden loves to make contact with his head and his face mask.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say hands to the face.
No,
He does that too.
Eric Williams did that too.
Right, but he's a hard. I don't know if you want to say throwback, because I don't know if that really gives enough credit to the players nowadays, but. He's a football player. He likes contact. And I think you always appreciate players that like contact, that like to hit. And, you know, like I said, you know, you got to make a choice with him. You know, do you want to be the nail or the hammer? I mean, you really do. And you got to make sure when he's out there, I can tell you one thing, he's going to come and he's going to hit you. So you better be ready to hit him back.
I'd like to use another term. You're not going to appreciate him. You're going to be the hammer, so to speak.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's got a little nasty in him. Yeah. Defensive backs, Vontae Davis. They got to make some choices against Marquise Lee and Allen Robinson. And what do you make of the secondary for Indianapolis?
Well, they've had some injuries back there. Yeah. They really have. And it's just like, you know, everyone in the league, we always have to deal with injuries. But, you know, they'll do a nice job. They like to change things up quite a bit. You know, they'll play off man. They'll play press man. They'll play single high zone. They'll play two shell zone. So, you know, they'll mix it up on us. But again, at the same point, you know, we got to be able to recognize the coverage. We got to know in zone. We got to be able to sit down in the zones. If they're playing us a man, we've got to do a good job of winning those one-on-one matchups. So, again, it's just a matter of us going out there and really executing what we need to do. And our play is winning when we're in, when we have a favorable matchup.
Oh, you talk about some of the injuries that they've had, also NFL imposed suspensions with DeQuell Jackson. And they're playing some young guys. T.J. Green is a safety. Hassan Ridgeway is a defensive end. And a lot of people may know this guy from being down in these parts. Antonio Morrison, who was a fourth-round pick, and from watching him on film, I gave him the moniker, the Energizer Bunny. I mean, he plays the game every play and at 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, I mean, we showed clips to our players on him. You know, he's a guy. He's high energy. He can run downhill. He's running all over. We know he's gonna be talking a lot, which is fine. I mean, I respect players. Whatever they have to do to get themselves ready. So, I think he's really stepped in and did a heck of a job. You know, we know that, you know, the linebacker obviously is not with them anymore. DeQuell, who's an excellent veteran player, good football player. But I really thought that this guy has stepped up here and has done an outstanding job, especially being a rookie in a position that, you know, when you're in those trenches, the closer you are to the football, a lot of times the harder it is to play, you know, that type of mentality. And he's close. He's at that second level, that inside linebacker position. But I've been very impressed with the film that I've seen on him.
We'll come back and flip it around. Jags defense, how do they match up against Andrew Luck?
And I guess we're not going to talk about special teams?
We can if you want to.
I'm just saying.
We can go there if you want.
Three phases.
A couple 50-yard field goals last week. Yeah. We can go there. Right? Yeah, we'll come back and talk about one other side of the football. We'll figure that out during the break. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
JP Shattuck, Jeff Loggeman, interim head coach Doug Marrone. Jaguars Thursday rolls along 2 hours tonight. First hour on the network, and then on our flagship station in Jacksonville from 7 to 8, 1010XL. Both hours on Jaguars.com and the Jags app. Thank you for joining us this evening. Well, the Indianapolis Colts, you might have heard, have Andrew Luck as the quarterback. He's pretty decent, and he has some weapons around him. A run game that has, you know, for a 33-year-old running back, Frank Gore, he's, what, 36 yards away from 1,000 for the season, a remarkable feat there. T.Y. Hilton on the outside that can spring it loose at any moment. They've got some options on offense here.
Oh, they do. I mean, obviously it starts with the quarterback. He's obviously an excellent football player. He can extend plays. He can extend them both, you know, with keeping his eyes down the field vertically, but he can also extend them, obviously, with his feet. He's, you know, he's a tough guy to bring down. I mean, people always talk about Ben in Pittsburgh being tough to bring down, but it's also tough to bring, you know, Andrew down. So he's done a great job in that, and he does have some weapons. I think when you look at Frank and people talk about age, I don't know. I mean, I don't see 33 years old out there. I was fortunate to be with Curtis Martin when he was the oldest player to win a rushing title. You know, I think
how old was he when he did that, Curtis? He's in his
30s. He was in his 30s. But and I think Frank Gore at the end of the day is going to go down with a lot of those players like Curtis Martin and things of that nature of gaining that respect and, you know, one day, you know, have an opportunity maybe to get into Canton. I mean, that's the type of guy that he's been. He's been a great inside runner. He can run outside. I don't know what he really, you know, cannot do. So, you know, he's obviously a great player. And T.Y. Hilton's a catalyst for him. I mean, you know, he makes a lot of plays. He does a lot of things with the ball in his hand after he catches it. The tight end position, you know, with Rob Chudzinski being a tight end, the offensive coordinator and former tight end, you know, you see a lot of those tight end routes coming into play with the basics coming over the middle, the sail routes coming on the outside. You know, they've done a nice job of that. So there are a lot of weapons. They're ranked high offensively. They do their fourth and explosive pass plays in the NFL. And it's going to be a great challenge for our defense.
I think the longer in the league that I've been covering it, played in it, all of that combined, again, a greater appreciation for a guy like Frank Gore, who's been able to do it for so long. And on top of that, to remain very durable. I mean, 92nd consecutive start that he's got, I think, coming up this Sunday. And to be able to do it week in, week out. And you talked about Curtis Martin, a couple numbers here. He has, looking at his, or he already accomplished his 11th consecutive 1,200 yards from scrimmage season. He's looking at his 9,000-yard season. And there's three guys that have done that, Curtis Martin, Emmett Smith, and Barry Sanders. That's unbelievable.
It really is. And I think, you know, it's funny, you know, when you play the game and you're out there, you're running, you're tackling, you're watching the hits on the field, you really don't know anything because you're playing. And you just figure this is the way it is.
You don't appreciate a lot of it.
Right. When I had gotten into coaching and I wound up going back and obviously my first job in the NFL, I was with the Jets, and I remember sitting, you know, on the sideline and I'm watching the players, and, you know, obviously you have to, the closer you get to the sideline, the more physical you need to become. And I remember seeing Curtis get hit, and I remember him popping right back up. I'm like, holy cow, how's he doing that? And they do it day in and day out, and play after play after play, and then, you know, all of a sudden, now we're gonna go through another week. We're gonna get your body ready, and here your body goes again. So I think I don't know, unless you're actually down there, if you could really understand the impact of the type of hits that these running backs take.
Last time out against the Colts, Week 4. Boy, that's a long time ago. Thinking about it now. In London, there was a lot of British soil on Luck's uniform at the end of that game. 14 quarterback hits, 6 sacks of Andrew Luck. You got to get pressure on him. Can't
Absolutely.
Let him stand back there.
You have to get him off the spot. You can't let him feel comfortable back there. But in the same time, you have to make sure that he can't escape and he can't extend the play. You need to get people in there, you know, especially he's so good at down the middle of the field. And we've talked about it, you know, between post routes and dig routes and things of that nature. So you have to do a good job. You got to make sure he's not feeling comfortable back there. And that's going to be a challenge again for guys up front. He gets rid of the ball quick. It seems like he's getting rid of the ball faster than our first game. I mean, when you watch him on tape. So it's going to be a combination. I think that, you know, sacks, everyone thinks about it as always a defensive line, but it's a combination of coverage and line that has to work both hand in hand.
The first game, there was a lot of conversation about the performance of their offensive line. They've continued to kind of try to find the right formula, and it appears that either a combination of the offensive line playing better or that Andrew Luck is getting rid of the ball faster. But in the last two games, he hasn't been sacked. In the last six games total, he's only been sacked six times, which is certainly a change from where it was early in the season for him. Is it the performance of his offensive line, do you think, or is that just Andrew Luck getting rid of the ball quicker or a combination of both?
I think it's definitely a combination of both. I think Joe Philbin, who I've known for years, I think he's done an outstanding job with those players, you know, trying to get them in good position. And then I think it's also the receivers. You know, they're doing a nice job. They get open quickly, which he's able to deliver the ball to them. So I think it's a combination of everything. I think they're playing very well. They had a setback last week, but before that they were playing extremely well. And they're probably doing the same thing, looking to get back to what's made them successful.
Doug, good luck to you on Sunday, and Happy New Year to you.
Thank you, JP. I appreciate it.
Yeah. We hear you're throwing a party for us on Saturday night.
On Saturday night.
I look forward to
that. Yeah, I do bed check now, so I check beds, but I got to stay up late. The players, I'm in bed early.
You're saying there's not a chance for St. Elmo's and, you know, dinner's on you or anything like that?
Would fly to Indy for that. I'll just meet the team up there.
No,
that'd be great.
Dinner on me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Shoot. I got my communion money in my back pocket. I'm not buying anyone anything.
Doug Marrone, interim head coach, with us. We'll return with more. This is Jaguars Thursday on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Beards Jewelry at the St. John's Town Center in Jacksonville, where exceptional is affordable. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Boselli is with us now. The pride of the Jaguars left tackle steps in on Jaguars Thursday. Good evening, Tony.
Good evening. How are we doing?
Doing well. Week 17 is here. The Jaguars get the Colts this week. The Jaguars got the Colts week 4 in London, a win at Wembley Stadium. That's been a while, though. We're talking with Doug Marrone.
That seemed like a really long time
ago. I know,
ago.
Right? Yeah. Well, it was. It was a long, long time ago, 12 weeks ago, 13 weeks ago.
Well, when you're losing, when you
even
lose
longer.
Nine in a row, it makes it really long.
Even longer. So the last thought we had with Doug Marrone there was about the Colts offense. And Andrew Luck, over the last couple of years, has taken a lot of hits. Obviously, he had the lacerated kidney last year, missed a lot of time, and he's just always been hit in his career in Indy. That's an offensive line.
Well, they've not drafted offensive linemen very high until the last couple years, you know. So they've expended some draft picks, you know, now with Jack Muhort, Ryan Kelly, Joe Haig, a fifth-rounder, LaRaven Clark, who's been playing right tackle for them. You know, but for a long time they didn't, you know. And if you have Peyton Manning, who gets rid of the ball quick and diagnoses defenses quickly, that might work. But with Andrew Luck likes to extend the play. He's willing to take a hit. That's not really what you'd like to have with him, you know, because he's going to take enough hits even if the protection is good, just because he likes to extend the play and get out of the pocket.
Yeah, they're not great up front. The ironic thing is their best two players up front are their two first-rounders that they picked. Anthony Costanzo is an above-average left tackle. And I think Ryan Kelly, the rookie out of Alabama, is really good.
And Jack Muhort's a good player, too. He's on
injury
reserve.
I'm not counting him because he's hurt. Other than that, they're just okay.
You don't like Joe Haig, North Dakota State?
I think Joe Haig's solid, and I think he has the opportunity to be a good player, but he's young.
He's played left guard, right guard, right tackle.
Can you imagine you're a rookie
coming in from North Dakota State? Okay, you're thinking, okay, you know, I hope to earn the right to play someday. And then you're put in the lineup. I think it was week 3 he was put in the lineup, and he hasn't been taken out since, but he's left guard, right guard, and then he's back to left guard, and then he's over to right tackle. Now he's back to right guard. I mean, can you imagine trying to do that your rookie year?
No. And it says a lot about the kid.
Yeah, I mean, I give him credit.
He's a solid player. He is a solid player. But they're just – they're outside the center, because I think Anthony Costanzo is above average. I think the center is really good and is going to be a really good player. But other than that, they're just the right tackle. They've gone with LaRaven Clark, the rookie out of Texas Tech, third-round draft pick. He really struggled last week. Very soft, gives up the edge, a lot of pressure. They move Hague inside, and it's hard. That means you have two rookies working next to each other. And when one's not very good, it makes it even tougher. And Jonathan Harrison's a guy out of Florida. A lot of Gator fans know him.
He couldn't even keep a job at center.
He's hot and cold. Like, yeah. At times, you're like, man.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. Double teams, get up next level. He's athletic. But all of a sudden, you get about two or three plays, you're going, what in the world are you doing? And so the consistency is just not there. And because of it, and it's gotten better. There, you can see the improvement, and I know Doug was talking about it. You know, is it the quarterback? Is it what is it? It's a little bit of everything. Andrew Luck is doing a good job of getting rid of the ball. He really is outstanding of buying time in the pocket, just shuffling a little bit here and there so he gets rid of it. He still gets hit, but he's getting rid of the ball, so he's not taking the sacks. And I do think they're better up front than maybe than when we saw them the first time in London. And a lot of that's because Joe Hague's, you know, he's got some, you know, things under his belt now. The rookie center's getting better and better. But there's some opportunities, especially, you know, we've talked about Dante Fowler a lot and the lack of pass rush. This is a game where you just come and go because Clark.
Be an interesting matchup.
But Clark, the right tackle, is not really sound and not really.
Well, wait a minute. You're talking about LaRaven Clark, who has started right tackle the last two games for the Indianapolis Colts, third-round pick.
Yeah.
And I was reading this week the transcript from their general manager, Ryan Grigson, and he was lauding the performance of LaRaven Clark and the offensive line and how much they've improved. And then he threw out a number, and so I got the number. And I'm like, okay, and this was before I watched the tape.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay, let me look at these numbers to make sure that they're right. Well, I went to look the numbers up. He was wrong.
What numbers did he give?
I think he said that there were I think we've only given up like 5 sacks in the last 8 games. Well, no, it's been 6 sacks in the last 6 games. In the last 2 games, they have not allowed a sack.
But if you watch the tape against Oakland, Luck got hit a bunch.
Oh, I know. 52 was having you know,
no, he's a good player.
Really good player. Sure. But it wasn't just 52. It was 51 also. You know, so LaRaven Clark struggled a little bit. And the matchup that I can't wait to see is Dante Fowler against LaRaven Clark. And I can't wait to see an unbelievably motivated Yannick Ngakoue against left tackle Anthony Costanzo because he's got an opportunity at owning the rookie record, the sack record. And so he is going to be humming. I guarantee you that.
The Clark – Fowler matchup's only good if Dante comes. If he dances, he's working right into LaRaven Clark's.
I know.
What he wants.
I can't wait to see.
Now, if he comes off the ball and tries to smoke him a few times early, he'll have. Because if you watched Oakland 52, Mack.
Khalil Mack.
Wasn't like he was doing great pass rush moves. He's just running by him and running through him and going inside and running through his soft inside shoulder. And so. This is a game where Dante doesn't need to worry about any great pass rush moves or anything. Just go.
Let's come back and flip it over. Jaguars offensive line. Some holes to patch there. Well, Chatley, we'll see how he did last week. How can he perform?
You mean the sixth left guard? The sixth left
quote
guard?
Quote unquote.
I thought we were done talking about that.
I mean,
we'll see how he played last week.
I've had enough. He's not a sixth guard.
Well, we'll break that down when we return. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
JP Shatterick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Boselli, Jaguars Thursday. Jaguars Colts coming up in Week 17 at Lucas Oil Stadium. New Year's Day football.
Yeah. It would have been nice if, you know, the last two and then this game had, you know, some meaning to where things were coming down to the end, you know, but... You know, hopefully one day this organization can get to that point because, to me, that's the ultimate. You know, when you come down the stretch and you've got an opportunity to do two things. One, you know, seal the division, or number two, to, you know, improve your you know, what is it, the rankings or the for playoffs, what do they call that again? I'm drawing a blank here.
Seeding.
The seeding, you know, where you can kind of play with the seeding a little bit, you know, in the last couple games. But it is what it is, and it's a game that I guarantee you nobody in the country is going to be watching except for two markets, Indianapolis and Jacksonville, the way it is.
Well, there you have it. We'll flip it over now. Jaguars offensive line. We went to break discussing the left guard spot here. Tyler Shatley was in the hunt for a couple of spots in camp this year and was going to, you know, had an opportunity to probably be a starter, and has started at center at one point this year. He's not a number six player on this depth chart. He's a very good player on this depth chart. How did he play last week at left guard?
I thought he played very well. I thought
very well because of who he was playing, or very well just by his own play?
Probably a little bit of both.
Yeah, I would disagree.
Okay.
I thought he played really solid and good football based on who he's playing. He had the toughest matchup with Jarrell Casey.
Mm-hmm.
But he had some plays now where Jarrell Casey's caused some problems. Now, Blake got rid of it at times. You know, he just did. He had some sets in some situations that he put himself in really tough spots that made it difficult, especially when you're playing a guy like Terrell.
He's a great player.
Jarrell Casey. So I'm not saying he played poorly by any means. And so I would have said he played okay if he's playing anybody against that guy. I thought, you know, he did a good job. Jarrell Casey did not become a problem. And so I thought because of that, I would say, you know, it's a good job. I wouldn't, you know. But based on who he's playing, not just – if I just watched his tape, took the numbers off, and I watched it and said, did this guy play good or bad?
So I gave him a good job, plus you're just giving him just a straight good job.
Because of who he played.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big part of it.
Semantics.
You should give him a good job, plus because for who he's playing against.
No,
because
I said he was just average if I took away who he was playing.
Grading against the curve here.
It's a curve. Yeah. It's a curve.
My question is – A.J. Can, Shatley, who played better?
A.J. Can played better.
Okay. Overall?
Overall. Because, I mean, now he had an easier matchup, too.
Right.
So, I mean.
So it's a curve again.
That's how it always is. I mean, like, when I play left tackle, it's one thing. If I go out and play, if I was playing Bruce Smith in his prime and Bruce got one hit on the quarterback, well, okay, it's not a bad day. If I'm playing some fish. And he gets off the line, you know, and he gets a hit on the quarterback. It was a bad day. I didn't play well. It's always on a curve. Yeah. You disagree, Jeff?
No, I don't.
I mean, when you lined up against Anthony Munoz the first time, I mean, you're happy to get off the line of scrimmage.
I just wanted to beat him one time. I didn't care if I got
a sack. Just once.
Just let me beat him one time.
And that's a good day.
So I can see the quarterback.
If you're playing some undrafted free agent who's a backup.
Oh, you want to own him.
You better own him.
Absolutely.
And if you don't, it's a bad day.
If you're playing, I remember playing, we were playing the Green Bay Packers one year. And they had lost their left tackle, and I can't remember who it was, but Don Majkowski was the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. And so they take a guard and shift him out the left tackle.
You should kill him.
And I'm like, I've got to own this guy, you know, because, you know, Don Majkowski was a Virginia guy, and I didn't like him at Virginia, and I didn't like him at Green Bay either. So I was going, I got to have a great day. So
I mean, it's a little bit like, and I'll move away from the offensive line just briefly. But everyone talks about how great A-Rod played last week. And yeah. I thought he played very well.
Sure.
Yeah, but against
now, Tino Blake is not a good player.
No. That's why I said earlier
in the
week.
I mean,
you got to take it with a grain of salt. The performance as a whole is an offense.
Very good.
Because the secondary of the Tennessee Titans, first of all, I mean.
It wasn't
look,
great when good job, there.
Good job, you know, by the Jaguars offense. But you take that with a grain of salt.
Sure.
At the back end for the Tennessee Titans, that's not a very talented group now. You know, Valentino Blake couldn't even make this football team.
No.
You know, a couple years ago when it didn't have any corners.
Well,
didn't
his
have any.
His name wasn't Valentino either back then. It was
Antoine Blake.
Yeah. He changed his name. Yeah. Why did he change his name? Do we know?
I don't know. Yeah. He went to Pittsburgh and played well there for a little
bit. Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Will you remember Valentino better or Antoine?
Ah. Well, if he keeps on playing like that, neither of them.
True.
Let's come back and get to the Jaguars injury report. This is Jaguars Thursday on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
Of course, Thursday continues. JP Shadrick, Jeff Blogeman, Tony Vaselli. Jaguars injury report is out. A couple of notables limited. The last couple of days in practice. Running backs, Chris Ivory, getting some work. And Denard Robinson coming off the ankle injury. We'll see if those guys can go. That would help a running back group that's been nicked up the last couple of weeks. Some other notable players. Let's see. Luke Bowenko limited today with a hip injury. Alex Ellis,
that tight end. Kind of, you know, you wonder about.
Yeah, did he re-injure it?
Bowenko?
Well, I mean, he had surgery on the hip, and so any time he pops up on the injury report with it being a hip. And
that makes you worry.
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely,
I agree.
Because of, you know, when you start dealing with hips now, I mean, guys, it's not like, you know, guys have had great success coming back from hip injuries, you know. Now, Pitta was able to come back, but then you think about, you know, the Bo Jackson thing where he wasn't able to do it, you know, so.
Bose was extreme. Now it was dislocation.
Well, he had a fracture in there, and the blood never got. It's not an area that gets a lot of blood flow, so he didn't get it. Never healed. The bone basically died. Bowenko, if I'm not mistaken, his is a labrum of the hip issue that is very fixable, and you can get in there and scope it.
He had a really nice block on the goal line. Though.
Really good play.
A really good block.
If it was me, I'd start Luke Bowenko at left guard this week.
Would you?
Yes. I want to see him. I know what Tyler Shatley is. He's in my backup center, and and by the way, when he came in at center, he played very well. And he's a guy who can play either guard if I need him. I want to sign Shatley's a free agent, and I sign him back to this roster. I want to know what Luke Bowenko is, because I think Luke Bowenko, if he has the power, could be a better guard because he has more length than Shatley.
Yeah, Shatley 6'3", Bowenko 6'5".
And Bowenko's long-armed as well.
There's the goal line block. We're actually watching that.
And nothing against Shatley. I know what Shatley is. I mean, the guys were 3-12. It's the end of the year. I mean, let's find. I would put him in. I'd start.
I'm okay
left
with
guard.
That. Hey, anytime you're talking and you're pushing for a Virginia guy to go in the lineup, I'm okay with that.
It was painful to do, but I did.
It hurts everybody. Let's come back and preview the game a little bit more. Also, second hour of Jaguars Thursday on our flagship station in Jacksonville, 1010 XL, starts at 7 o'clock, but both hours on Jaguars.com and the Jaguars app. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
Final moments of the network hour of Jaguars Thursday. Stick around if you're in Jacksonville on 1010 XL, our flagship station, for another hour. JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli. The Jags and the Colts, and of course the Colts have... I guess dominated the all-time series against the Jags.
21-10, right?
That's right. And, yep. But the Jags won back-to-back games. If they win Sunday, it'll be a three-outing winning streak, tied for the longest the Jaguars have had in series history.
Well, you got to remember
Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning was there for the majority of that, where they basically went undefeated in the division almost every year.
This is a Colts organization, though, that had won 16 consecutive AFC South games at one point. I think they're 3-5 since they lost that in the division, since they lost that streak. It's slipping away, their whole grip over the division.
Part of the reason why that it's slipping away a little bit is some of the personnel decisions that they have made haven't been great. You know, trade away a first-round pick for an Alabama running back that's not worthy of a first-round pick, and I throw that Alabama out there just because, JP, I know you're from
Roll Tide. It was Trent Richardson,
Roll Tide.
And you're right. I mean, you were right. He didn't. He proved that he was not.
I mean, that was a terrible decision. And, you know, when Ryan Grigson, you know, and I don't know him personally, I don't, but when he walked in the door, he had the first pick overall in the draft, and he used it to select Andrew Luck. And that was a decision that I think was consensus around the league. Andrew Luck was the best player to select, period.
My 8-year-old daughter at the time was picking Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
She put down the My Little Ponies and said, hey, pick Andrew Luck.
Yeah, I mean, my mom, my wife, my dad, my stepdad, who doesn't like really watch football.
Even him.
He picked Andrew Luck. I think my dog pointed at the TV set and said, pick Andrew Luck.
But that's, you know,
I mean, my point is saying it's not like it's a magical pick.
No, but since then, you know, he really hasn't done a lot, you know, and that's, you know, Bill Polian was able to find gems like Robert Mathis, you know, who was a 5th-round draft pick, and he's got 122 career sacks. I'm not saying that happens every year, But, you know, I mean, those are the things that you got to find, and Ryan Grigson has failed.
Thanks for listening on the network tonight. Stick with us on Jaguars.com and the Jaguars app if you're in Jacksonville. Another hour of Jaguars Thursday is coming up on 1010XL, our flagship station. This has been Jaguars Thursday on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday.
Jaguars Thursday.
J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, and Tony Baselli bring you the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank.
Touchdown, Jacksonville!
Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, begins right now.
Second hour of Jaguars Thursday underway. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli. Jaguars.com and the Jaguars app simulcasting as always. We continue our discussion.
So we can see JP's pretty face.
We're back. That's right. And my big bald head on
JP,
camera.
You and I are having to do extra work on Thursday nights now.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I'm good with that, though.
No, I enjoy it.
I love spending time with you guys.
Well, that's one of the negatives for me with spending more time with you, but I enjoy.
Why do you always go low like that?
I enjoy being on with Jeff and talking football. It's nice to have someone who understands the game to talk with. Monday nights I'm with you and Pete. It's really hard hitting my head against the wall, but nice to have Jeff here.
At least someone knows football.
But it's good to see you too, Jeff.
Well, the one good thing is Pete Prisco knows quarterbacks.
He knows everything.
Oh, he'll tell you. Just ask him.
Yeah,
he'll tell you all about it. So we'll get to the game this Sunday. Coaching search is going on. You might have seen some headlines the last couple of days here in Jacksonville.
All kinds of things flying around now.
It's only the beginning.
Yeah, you know, the rumors, speculation, Tom Coughlin supposedly interviewed, you know.
Well, it sounded like it was classified as a meeting, whatever you want to call it, instead of an interview.
Yeah, whatever you want to call it. But
I guess they weren't just talking about how their holidays were.
No, I don't think it was much about that. Yeah, you know, and Ryan O'Halloran was saying that General Manager Dave Caldwell was not involved with that. You know, I don't know if there's any truth to that or not, but, you know, it makes it kind of, you know, intriguing, I guess. You know, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen, what's going to go on, but, you know, look, I just hope that this decision, you know, that they make and whatever they do going forward, that it's the right one. Whatever it is, you know, that it's the right one, that this organization can thrive and be successful and have this fan base experience what me and Tony got to experience from the playing field, because it was absolutely magical.
Jeff, if you were tasked by Shad Khan to hire the next head coach, I'm not looking for a name because that's silly. What would be a couple of the qualifications you'd be looking for? What type of coach? What would be some of the things? What were some of the boxes? Because I know I have mine that would need to be checked for them to be a candidate.
There's a lot of boxes now when it comes to a head coach.
But there's, I'm talking about. So, for instance, for me, I would not hire somebody who had not been a head coach before. I think this job, this position right now, needs someone with experience and has some seniority to them. I don't think you need. I would not hire a young coach who had never been a head coach before in the NFL.
No.
So that like right there, that
so it takes out all college.
Wait. Let me amend what I said there. I think you know, look, I get the point where you're trying to make is that you want somebody that has great experience.
Yes.
And I'm okay with having great experience, and I'm not necessarily of the mind that says that, you know, it has to be head coaching experience, but it has to be experience period in the league, and it has to be experience in different aspects of the game. You know what I mean? To me, it has to be.
And nothing to get – like Kyle Shanahan. I don't know him. He's done a fabulous job in Atlanta this year.
I'm with you. No.
But I don't know – and he might be a great head coach. He might be the next Bill Belichick. He might be like his dad, Mike Shanahan, who was a heck of a coach. I just don't want to find out here. I think, for me, and if he becomes our head coach here, obviously we'll be excited and we'll be behind 100%. I'm just saying, if I was the one tasked to do it, I would want a guy who has sat in that seat before and has an understanding of what he's going to do when he's faced with all the different things, especially because this is a young football team.
Mm-hmm. You know, and let me ask you this. Let's go back to when Bruce Arians was hired by the Arizona Cardinals. Did he have any head coaching experience exception of being, you know, a placeholder for Chuck Pagano?
But he was Chuck was not in the building. He was not there. I mean, so he was the head coach for that year. So he understood what he was doing, getting into, and Bruce is also a guy who was up there in age. He wasn't a young guy. He'd been around.
Well, that's the point I make. I mean, if you find somebody that has great experience, have to necessarily be, you know, as a head coach.
I'd want a guy. Here's the thing:
you preclude yourself from being able to acquire. You can't go and get a Bill Cowher. He was never a head coach.
Oh, I agree. I might miss out on some guys. I'm not saying that Kyle Shanahan won't be a great head coach. I'm just thinking, and this is just a gut feeling I have about where we are as an organization. I would want a guy who has some tenure behind him, like Josh McDaniels. I would hire Josh. I mean, there's a lot of other things you have to go to, but he would be on my list because he's done it. He's failed. There's a great article, I think, in SI or somebody about what he's learned from it. He's been around.
I read that article.
He's been around Bill Belichick.
Oh my God!
I didn't read the article.
You need to read it.
I saw bits and pieces. I'm not saying he's who I'd hire, but okay, he would be on my list.
The article was totally agenda driven.
Well, obvious, most things are.
Let me help Josh McDaniels get a job.
I'm not saying he's the guy, but
he's learned a lot.
Tom Coughlin, a guy like Mike Shanahan, who no one's talking about, who's done it before. Mike Smith. I mean, go down the list.
Doug Marrone,
mm-hmm. Absolutely. He's a candidate. He's done it. I said that on Monday night, and Pete disagreed with me. I would interview Doug Marrone, and it would be a real interview, which I think they'll do. And he's right up the top of my list of guys I would consider hiring here. Because he's done it. By the way, he had success in Buffalo, too. He's 9-7. He, with a team that didn't have a ton of talent, and walked away because of front office
Well, issues. Nobody really knows why he walked away.
What was
he's
reported.
Never really talked about it.
No, but he's never talked about it. But if you read the papers, that's the report. Yeah. There was some friction between him and the front office. What was true, what really happened, who knows? That's just, I mean, and you're right, though, Jeff. You do limit yourself to some guys who might be great head coaches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think you got to look at everything. I mean, you really do. I mean, it's, you know, because, you know, a lot of people say, and I'm not trying to say that to point anybody out. But, you know, when you're what was Gus's record? 14-48? Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, that's Gus Bradley's record, and that's also Dave Caldwell's record. You know, so you need to make sure that you make the right decisions going forward. And you know, and that's why I really appreciated what Dave Caldwell said when he had his press conference where he talked about it. He said, you know, I need to take a look at what we're doing. You know, we take responsibility in this. We need to get better, period, as an organization because, you know, look. I said this before. I mean, you got an opportunity to right the ship, to make it right. And so, look, if you're Dave, I mean, look, this is probably your last opportunity to get it right, right? I mean, as a general manager, you know, so you want to make sure that you make the right decision. And there's a lot of people that are going to have some input on that, I'm sure. Tony Khan and Mark Lamping and maybe some other senior personnel people, which Dave said in his press conference. But, you know, you got to make the right decision. You know, and Tony, I do agree with you. I would lean more towards someone that has experience just because, you know, being a head coach in the National Football League is a huge undertaking. And if you have no idea what you're getting into, it's hard to be able to manage it, to be able to handle that. I mean, you go and you talk to guys that did it for the first time and then had a second opportunity at it. And, look, there's not a ton of them that the second opportunity that they had at it were much more successful the second time around. But for the most part, they said that it was much easier in that second job to where they could handle things a little bit different. So, but it's going to be interesting to watch. And, you know, and I'm looking forward to it, and I think as an organization you want this to kind of get resolved so it's full speed ahead. you know, get the staff together,
because you can
get the direction heading, you know, where you want it to go, and you move forward.
So it'll be an interesting few weeks around here, a couple of weeks, but hopefully not that long, maybe a week or two, and then
move
forward.
Well, it depends. I mean, yeah. If you're going after a guy in the playoffs, it might be 4 weeks.
That's true. Are you willing to wait that long and chance it?
I want you to read that article on Josh McDaniels.
I will.
And tell me what your thoughts are on it.
Yeah. I'm not saying I mean, I just put him on my list because he checks one of the boxes.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, but I mean, so you got him. Who, as far as checking that box, Josh McDaniels, Mike Smith, Doug Marrone. Tom Coughlin. Who else?
Shanahan.
Yeah, Shanahan.
His name's been out there.
Okay.
John Gruden. Why not go hire John Gruden?
If you're Pete Prisco, call Nick Saban.
What about John Gruden?
Well, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I
why not? You want to talk about making a splash?
Yeah, see, I'm not worried about making a splash.
I'm not saying that wouldn't be one of the things, but it would be one of the positive, you know. That wouldn't be even on my top five of my list of things I'm worried about doing. Would be a nice byproduct. John Gruden's a good football coach. Now, you're going to have to pay a lot of money to get him out of the booth, though.
Well, head coaches in the National Football League make a lot of money.
Well, he gets paid $8 to
Does he make $8?
Yeah.
Stay in the booth, John. Stay in the booth.
So they're going to pay him like $10.
No.
It'd be my guess. I mean, that's the report if you read
They're
out there.
They're not paying him 10.
No, the reports you read, what he makes at ESPN. Now, they could all be wrong. But
yeah, his agent might be just lying about it.
We all, you know, it's liar's poker out there, but the report is he makes $8. So, I mean, there's you go into the call. Like, I'd be okay with the call if you're a college head coach. David Shaw.
You said NFL experience.
So. Well, I meant head coach. Head coach experience.
You said NFL head coaching experience.
Head coach experience. David Shaw has been a head coach.
Oh, all right.
Very good
so
head
that
coach.
So that opens up a whole new bank of guys then.
Oh, sure it does, yeah.
Well, we were not enlisting them earlier because you said NFL coaching experience.
Well, I apologize. I misspoke.
But what do I know?
Nick Saban. Urban Meyer.
Harbaugh. Hey, swing for the fence. Why not?
I mean, I think you have to look at everybody.
If you could have your
choice.
I don't
think those are realistic. I really just
no, let's,
oh,
let's
I don't
say
mean, I'm
they
just
are.
Throwing names out there.
Let's say they are. Let's say that Jim Harbaugh is an option. Would you want him?
I'd rather have his brother John.
I wouldn't disagree with that.
Word is John
more stable.
John's on his there's you know talk about him in Baltimore's last year. They missed playoffs 2 years in a row.
I'd take him in a minute.
Right now.
Yep.
Wow.
Sign him up.
We'll take John Harbaugh right now.
I think he's that good of a coach.
I do, too. I think he's an outstanding coach.
Because if you look, even though they haven't been in the playoffs the last 2 years.
They're competitive. Gosh, they're tough.
Year in, year out.
And they're not
play
that
hard.
Offensively, you talk about not being talented offensively. Holy cow.
That's the key. You know, over the last couple of years, they have not been very talented.
Everybody talks about, we need an offensive guy. We need a defensive guy. He's a special teams guy.
He's a football coach.
Yes, it doesn't matter, right?
He's a leader.
At the end of the day.
He's a leader.
As long as you can get it done.
You need leadership.
I'm just throwing these names out there because there's a bunch of guys who've had experience. And maybe it is narrow-minded. But, boy, I worry about one of these young coordinators with a young team. Maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, which would not be a shock. But It would take a guy who has no head coaching experience, a really dang good interview to sway me.
No.
To pull that trigger.
No, see, the interview wouldn't do it for me.
Or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It would take something that would have to.
He's got to have something.
So.
Interviews, you know what? Because there's a lot of people that can interview.
There are good
they
interviews
can sell
out
you
there.
A car.
We've seen some of those, haven't
that
we?
That does not have. We've seen some of them.
Shall we elaborate?
No, it's okay.
No, we've seen some of that.
Come on.
No, just in years over the years, you know, when you've been around the league and you sit there and you go, after you spend a little time with, you know, and I mean, I'd have to go back. This is not recent, folks. I mean, we're talking about in the put it this way. Tom Coughlin got sold a couple times.
Mm.
I can tell you that.
Okay.
And there were some other coaches on other staffs, you know, so I should say there were coaches on staff that we have had experience with that at the end of the day you go, now I understand why that guy got a job. Because they were salesmen, plain and simple. You know, and it was never about football with them. It was about selling themselves, you know. Sometimes the way it is, JP, that's, you know that, even that way in the real world.
It's the real world, the NFL, everywhere. Yeah.
The interesting thing is going that is going to happen, there's three jobs open right now. Could be as many as four more open after Monday.
Maybe. Maybe not that many.
No, I'm saying it could be.
Yeah.
And so now you're looking at it gets competitive.
Really competitive.
So you better move fast.
Let's come back and get into the game this Sunday at Lucas Oil Stadium. Jaguars defense, Jalen Ramsey, all the rest. How are they going to perform this week after a solid outing last week against the Titans? This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio. So, yes, and they had Dilfer on discussing some of the openings, the job openings, and how they pertain to Josh McDaniels in New England. And they brought up Jacksonville, and what do you make of Blake Bortles? That's a big key to what's going on down there. And he blasted Blake Bortles, first of all, calling him the worst quarterback in the NFL and not a great passer. I like Blake as a person. I think he showed some grit and determination early on, but at the end of the day, you've got to be able to spin it. I've talked to a lot of quarterbacks that give us one thing you've got to be able to do. Some guys will say tough, some guys smart, some guys say the process. You got to be able to spin it. You got to control the ball. I'm talking about throwing the ball. Just not a great passer. I think he's a very good athlete. I think he's a tough kid, but I think he makes some panic decisions, and he's a terrible passer. So, okay, that's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then
– now, stop there.
Yes.
Whether we agree or disagree with Trent Dilfer on that, that's his job.
Sure.
And I have no problem with him doing his job of making comments.
Yeah, that. He's not the worst passer in the league.
No, but that's his opinion.
But that's okay.
Yeah,
he's an analyst.
I'm okay with that. Yeah. He's got an opinion. Okay, from that point on. Okay, now where does it get bad?
Well, there's another reason. Apparently, Dilfer doesn't like the Jags job.
Uh-huh.
This is a quote. I think Jacksonville is a terrible city for an NFL franchise. I know this sounds harsh, and I'm usually not the guy who gives the sledgehammer comments, but I feel strongly about that. I would not want to coach Blake Bortles, and I would not want to be in Jacksonville. I've got to believe Josh doesn't want to either. End quote.
So he's hammering this as a place for football?
Yeah.
And as far as quality of life and living?
Yeah.
He's idiotic.
Now, see, asinine.
I know Trent. I actually like Trent, but he's idiotic.
I don't.
Well, but that's an idiotic statement based on nothing but his opinion, which he should keep to himself, because the reality is, if you look at the history of this franchise, as far as players who come here and never leave.
Coaches who come here and don't leave.
And never leave. And even when they go coach somewhere else, keep their home here because that's where they want to live when they retire. And so this is a great place to come coach for nothing else because of the city of Jacksonville and the lifestyle, the cost of living, the tax situation, the weather, the people, and everything else. And so that's where Trent sounds like an idiot.
Total idiot.
And that makes no sense. Now,
did he go on any further than that?
That's all I had on this.
So we've established that he's a moron on those comments.
And go even further and come to an organization with an owner who will spend money to get players.
Yeah.
And by the way, young and has a top five defense. Okay.
Does he go on anywhere else?
Yeah, let me get the rest of the quotes he's talking about. Some of the radio hosts were saying the city of Jacksonville shouldn't be in the United States and that kind of stuff. So it was
idiots.
Yeah, it was a mess.
All right, well, look, I've always, you know, first of all, Trent Dilfer got widely criticized earlier this year for some comments that he made about the 49ers organization for being a mouthpiece of Trent Baalke, the general manager of the 49ers. Which some of his comments were viewed as him being a mouthpiece, which is very inappropriate for an analyst to give comments and have comments like that. Second of all, Trent Dilfer was one of the reasons why I don't really care what he says and don't put a whole lot of merit to it, because he's not a very smart guy, period. He's not.
Oh. Oh, do tell.
And why do you say that, though? I mean, we're asking Trent to base his comments that we feel like are idiotic on some facts and something back. Okay. Why is he not smart?
You really want to know?
Absolutely. I didn't ask for nothing.
Come on, we can't wait.
All right. Well, let me ask you this. When you were drafted, okay, and you received your signing bonus check, okay, and let's say, and I know you got a lot more of this, but let's say you got $1 million to sign, and all of a sudden when you get your paycheck, all of a sudden you've got, you know, $670,000.
Yeah, the taxes came out.
Oh, the taxes came out.
Yeah.
Oh, you know that.
Government took taxes.
Oh, you know that.
Unfortunately.
Oh.
Is there a way to get around that?
Oh. Well, I'm just glad to see that you know that. And when you were 21, did you know that?
Yeah, I knew that probably when I was like 12 because my dad used to complain about
taxes. Take french fries out of your thing. Yeah. Oh, hey, guess what? Oh.
That's how it works.
Tax man.
Okay.
So that, okay. Enough said.
Good.
All right, move on.
Wow. So you're saying he didn't realize.
All I can tell you is Trent Dilfer, to use the line of Forrest Gump, he is not a smart man.
Well, that's the first time we've had Mr. Gump quoted on this show.
And I'm going to make no comments about Trent's IQ. I like Trent. I do. If I saw Trent, I'd walk up to him and say, what you said was idiotic and really dumb.
Say to Trent, you're a moron.
Or I might say that too. But I like Trent, but what he said is moronic. Really was.
Well, it got some attention.
I have a lot of dumb friends, though.
You know, he's a, as far as being a quarterback, he's an easy target. I mean, he's an easy target, right?
Yeah, but I don't have a problem.
So you're telling me Trent Dilfer is now a quarterback expert?
Well, he is. He has Elite 11. He does a lot of camps. I mean, Jeff, there are experts in every position now. You know that people go pay money because they're quote-unquote experts? So technically,
what was his career stats? How kind of player was he?
If you're basing it on his career stats, and I saw a comparison between him and Blake Bortles at the same age, not good. He's a career 55% passer.
55.
70 quarterback rating right around there.
Oh.
But he has a thing called the Elite 11.
Uh-huh.
Is
that a place where you can go to learn to be a quarterback, a 50% passer?
I think the people go there hope to have a little bit better.
And, 70, rated quarterback.
No, I think they go trying to prove themselves a little bit.
So how about Tad Dickman, the public relations man here for the Jaguars, tweeted out today, after all this went down, a little after lunch today, Bortles threw 45 career games, 68 touchdowns, 51 picks, 10,900 yards. Player X threw 45 career games, 29 touchdowns, 49 interceptions, 7,500 yards.
Huh. I wonder who that is. Trent Dilfer, maybe.
Maybe. I don't know.
Huh.
So.
What he said was very dumb.
So it ruffled feathers, got people listening to the show and looking at websites and stuff.
The idiots up at WEI, who, by the way, were not their regular, they were the fill-ins because the regulars were on vacation. The comment they made about that Jacksonville should not be a part of the United States. I'm like, okay. How is it up in Boston in 20 degrees right now? Because I was in shorts today, my friend.
Did you get around to golf in this week?
No, I could if I wanted to, though. Yeah. But I sat by a nice lake last night by a fire, 70-degree weather in my shorts and a T-shirt with my buddies.
Stop right there. We don't need to hear any more on that trip.
No, I was hanging out, telling stories.
Yeah, that's not a good start. Let's come back and get into the Jaguars' defense, little Jalen Ramsey. We promised that coming up. Could he be the defensive rookie of the year?
He's got some competition now.
Yeah, I think one, Joey Bosa is going to take that.
Joey Bosa has had a phenomenal year after missing multiple games to start the year because of the holdout and injury.
We'll see if Jalen can stuff the ballot box at the end. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
You cannot lose games in the NFL and still win. So if New England can just You cannot lose games in the NFL and still win. So if New England can just... You cannot lose games in the NFL and still win.
Classic winner, thanks to Tony Cabrera-Steele on Twitter for that.
You cannot lose games in the NFL and still win?
Yeah. That's deep.
Well,
if you think about it,
well,
sure.
I guess you could also tie. So maybe he's thinking the tie comes into play somewhere there.
It's a half a win and a half a loss.
Yeah, that's a good point.
In the standings.
Yeah.
So do the math.
That's good. That's good, JP.
Yeah.
Math.
Do not lose games in the NFL and still win.
So that's stirred up the fan base a little bit. Jaguars Thursday continues. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Baselli.
That's a fascinating statement if you really think.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
yes.
Fascinating.
Yeah. It's got you, Tony. It's got you thinking deep. Don't hurt yourself.
He should go into shrimping.
Oh, dear. So, the Jags have Jalen Ramsey
makes
on
my
the
head
roster.
Hurt.
You might have heard about him. Two fantastic games for Jalen. Before the break, we said, hey, could he be a defensive rookie of the year? Joey Bosa's got like 9.5 sacks or something this year.
9.5 sacks, and what did he miss? How many games?
Four?
Yes. Was it only four, or was it five?
I think it was either way. It was the first quarter of the season, no doubt.
But then he also just missed one last week, didn't he, with an injury?
He might have, yeah.
So I think he has like 9.5 sacks in like 9 games.
Yeah.
So the one argument is he didn't play a full slate of games, so is he worthy of defense player of the year? Rookie player, defense player of the year. Had a great, fabulous year when he was out there. You can make an argument for Jalen because everyone pays attention the last couple of weeks because he got the picks. But watch him all year. Go watch what he did to T.Y. Hilton the first time these two teams played.
Yeah, but let me ask you this. Is that award, are the people that are –
they don't know.
Selecting that, are they evaluating film?
It's an AP writer.
No, they look at stats.
Yeah,
they
exactly.
Don't know. That's why Jalen Ramsey won't win. Joey Bosa will.
He has
but
a
if you
more
go,
picks, maybe?
No. If you go watch the tape all year, then you can make a great argument because he did it for 16 games where Joey Bosa didn't. But Jalen Ramsey's had a fabulous year. He's getting the attention now because of the stats. Go watch him all year. Go watch the tape. Mm-hmm. Go watch what he did against T.Y. Hilton the first time. Go think about what they've asked him to do as a rookie and match up against the best wide receiver of the opposing team in man coverage. Not zone.
Nope.
In man. How many corners do that in this league?
Yeah, I think the play that really stood out for me, you know, I thought that was a great example. You know, DeAndre Hopkins is – you know, one of the best young players in the National Football League, and the Texans are on the goal line. And they put Jalen Ramsey out on an island against DeAndre Hopkins. Then there's not even a safety that's splitting the difference so that, you know, because a lot of times what happens on the goal line is that safety will cheat and split the difference between the wide out and the formation to give
take away
the corner, you know, some help on slant. Because as a corner, when you're in that area,
no air.
They can't stop
no air.
The quick slant and the fade at the same time. Well, guess what? The Jaguars defensively lined up and let Jalen play on DeAndre Hopkins all alone. There's no safety anywhere to the inside. Nothing. I mean, look, teams just don't do that.
Unless you have a really good corner.
Yeah.
And only a few do. He's that type of player. He is the best player on this team, without question in my mind. He arguably is the best rookie defensively in this draft, and the only one that you maybe put ahead of him is Ezekiel Elliott and Dak Prescott, but I think Dak Prescott's a lot of success is because of Ezekiel Elliott in that offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
Take another away from Dak. He's had a fabulous year. But let's just take the first rounders. There's not a better player who's been a rookie outside of Ezekiel Elliott than Jalen Ramsey. He's that good.
Yeah, those three guys, Elliott, Bosa, Ramsey, I mean, all three of them phenomenal years, you know. And, you know, in the Jaguars, from what I understand, you know, it kind of came down to, you know, Bosa and Ramsey, and so they weren't going to lose either way with that one, you know, however that ended up being. So, look, it's Jalen Ramsey's fun to watch, and I think The thing that just impresses me the most is just how physical he plays the game. You know,
because how about his run game? How about his run defense?
Look, you know, he had a couple of plays where he, you know, where you could look at this year and go, you know, he needs to be better in, on this. You know, the Tennessee game, first time.
He's a rookie.
This past game against Tennessee, he had a play where he didn't come up and really kind of set the edge. But, you know, I mean, look, week in, week out, the physical plays that he makes, you just don't find corners in the league to do that, you know?
Go watch the corner who's their number one corner for Indy and let me know how many tackles he makes, Vontae Davis.
He doesn't believe in tackling much. He likes to cover and make tackles that are, you know, where he's pulling the guy down from behind or whatever, but he's not going to be physical. Not like Jalen. I mean, is there a corner in the league that plays the game as physical as him?
Richard Sherman does.
Okay.
Richard Sherman's not afraid to tackle either. I don't know if he's as physical, but he'll tackle. Patrick Peterson. Another guy will tackle you in the Arizona corner. I think Jalen maybe cover a little bit better right now, but Patrick Peterson's a great player. Those two come.
See, Patrick Peterson, I don't remember watching him to where I went, wow, on how physical he is.
But he's a willing – he's a tackle.
He's willing.
No, but he's a guy who will come up and make plays. I mean, he can play a lot of different positions. I haven't watched him this year as much, but last year I watched him more. Those are the kind of the ones that come top of mind. Not a lot of other guys stand out to me.
Now, you almost got to go old school, you know, to find a corner.
Mel Blunt?
Yeah. Mm. That's exactly where I was going with that.
I don't know. Let's not put – I don't know if he's that physical.
Well, I mean, we're talking about Hall of Famer there. I mean, we're not going to put him in that category.
But, well, no, you're right. Same type of style of
play.
Yeah,
the way he's physical. Yeah. Plays the game in a physical fashion.
Mel Blunt was a big dude, too, right?
So was Jalen.
Right. That's
I don't know if you've seen him in the hallway.
Yeah. Big, long arms and legs.
Yeah, his length, you know, and he's – what's kind of surprising is, you know, he's high cut.
He can move his hips, though, man.
You know, high cut guys.
Change,
you know,
directions.
You know, and the scouting term for high cut, for those that don't, when they talk about it, is where the waist is. And so is your torso.
How long is your inseam?
Mine? And that's
what I'm
exactly. It's what it is.
That's
you know, it's an inseam measurement, you know. And so, like, if a guy is 6'5", a scout wants to know what's the inseam. Is he high cut? Is he low cut? Does he have a longer torso? Because scouts believe that a longer torso is better, you know, because longer legs mean sometimes the lack of ability to change direction.
Yeah, moving parts.
Bend knees.
Sure. Yeah. And Jalen, you know, just from, you know, the eye test, I don't know what his inseam is, but he's kind of a higher cut guy, got long legs, but man, he can move, you know. So that just should just go to show you that the numbers don't mean everything when it comes to evaluating a body type. Because he can flat out play now, and he's fun to watch. And I loved him when he came out. The only thing I thought that he didn't do well was his ball skills. His ball skills weren't great,
and they still need to get better.
Still got to get better.
He should have had 3 picks on Sunday.
Could have had 2 or 3 the week before.
Yeah, but 3. I mean, you're right. But 3. The one would have got called back because roughing the passer by Sheldon Day. But the other one where he baited Mariota to throw it back across the middle of the field, and he breaks on it. He should have picked that.
Mm-hmm. 2 opportunities there.
I think his ball skills will get better as he continues to grow. And I don't know Jalen off the field very much. I mean, not a guy I talked to a lot. Said hi. He went to Florida State. Obviously, my son goes there and kind of some, you know, very surfacey stuff. But I get the impression, I hope I'm right, that he, because of his ultra competitiveness, that he's very internally motivated. And that he's going to really work his tail off in the offseason to be better next year. Like, him having success this year is only going to fuel him to be better and to, like, live up and pass the standards that people are trying to put on him.
Yeah,
that's the sense I get.
Yeah, his idea is that, yeah, this is the way it's supposed to be, but
right.
I've left a lot out there this year. And I think you're going to see an even more motivated Jalen Ramsey moving forward no matter what happens with the Defensive Rookie of the Year Award. Let's come back and get to some picks. What is happening in the standings?
I moved up.
It is a meltdown for one of the three of us.
Not me.
I know this. I got the Browns right last week.
You did. We'll break down the picks. We'll pick some games in Week 17 coming up. Get the latest transportation news and information with the award-winning Making Moves. Watch the first Tuesday at 12:30 on Channel 4. And every Thursday after Nightline on ABC 25. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
Final segment of Jaguars Thursday. JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Vaselli. The Jaguars and the Indianapolis Colts coming up Sunday at Lucas Oil Stadium in downtown Indy. The first day of the new year. 2017 will be here by the time the Jags tee it up.
Are we going to dinner?
I got a reservation.
Did you steal it?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. I thought that when I saw the email come across and someone took it already. I bet you lost.
Yep,
like that.
I got it.
I'm like, I'm in,
way
baby.
To go. Congratulations. Yep.
Great call.
Thank you guys.
Yeah,
we got two.
That was awesome.
Right?
Yeah.
We're going to have a little St. Elmo's on.
Sounds like a nice New Year's Eve.
Guess who's buying, too?
Who?
I owe him
dinner.
He owes me dinner.
I owe him dinner.
Better.
Yeah, I got to get rid of it because I don't want to hear the whole offseason, you owe me dinner. you don't pay up on your bets. I don't want to hear that.
I can't wait. I'm going to town, baby. I'm working out extra Saturday morning because I am eating like a king.
Yeah.
Dessert,
bring your appetite.
Everything.
Bring your appetite.
Saying almost they got those shrimp with the spicy cocktail sauce.
Oh, I'm getting the extra horseradish.
Oh, me too. I can't wait. It makes you like sweat and clears the sinuses.
If you're not sweating,
awesome.
Then then you're not eating their horseradish.
Woo! Can't wait.
I asked them to bring extra horseradish.
I will too. Cannot wait.
Yeah.
Gosh, I thought that was you. I knew it, too, when I read the email. I'm like, Log's got it. I know Log's got
it. We had what we're talking about. There was an email that went out because there was a cancellation. Somebody couldn't go to dinner at St. Elmo's on Saturday.
Which is impossible
night.
To get into.
Which,
by the way.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Which, you know.
You probably booked it months ago.
Email got sent out, said, is anybody willing to take it? I said, I got it.
Yep. About 5 minutes later, I get an email back saying, sorry, it's taken. I'm like, Log's.
Yep. Got it.
It'll be a busy weekend here in Jacksonville. Tax Slayer Bowl, 11 o'clock Saturday, Georgia Tech and Kentucky here at Everbank
Who's
Field.
Who's a favorite in that game?
I do not know. I have not seen the line.
Okay. I think Kentucky probably.
The Georgia Tech running back
I don't mean the betting line, but people's opinion on who would win.
I think Kentucky, they had a really good year.
They finished strong, yeah. Absolutely. And Georgia Tech beat Georgia at the end. Two running teams now, triple option team in Georgia Tech.
Spread option.
Kentucky runs the ball a bit.
Zone option, read option, whatever it's called.
So it could be about a two-hour football game, but it's okay.
No, that's okay.
Yeah. 11 o'clock, and then Alabama plays at
4:30. Yeah, that's the only thing that's the only thing that matters. What time are the games that matter?
4:30 and then 8:30?
8:30, yeah, is the Fiesta Bowl.
Okay, good.
So we'll be back. I think we land right at halftime in Indy for the first one.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll watch the second half, then go to dinner, and then probably catch the second half after
Perfect.
Dinner. Yeah.
Perfect.
Here are the results of last week's picks of games. Loggeman with back-to-back 11-4 weeks to tie me for the season. I was 7-8 last week. Baselli 9-6. So for the season, Baselli 6-15. Shadrick and Loggeman an identical 577 win
I don't think you guys can catch me.
Well, we're going through the playoffs, right?
Are playoffs double points, maybe?
I thought we'd already talked about this.
Did we?
I think so. Oh, you don't pay attention?
No.
Obviously.
No.
I think
they should be double points.
Double point playoff games.
Yeah. JP.
Yes, sir.
What's it going to feel like when next week you're in last place?
You had a bad week, JP.
I told you it was an epic collapse. I warned you going into the break that somebody on this panel had an epic collapse.
I wasn't very good either. 9-6, and that's with picking the Browns.
Yeah. Logs. Back-to-back 11 win weeks.
He's getting hot.
He's getting hot at the right time.
Well, you know why? Because he doesn't have to focus on fantasy anymore because he was so far ahead. He could now pay attention to this, picking games.
Let's pick some games this week, shall we? Week 17, a little more difficult. Some teams might pack it in and have a foot in the parking lot.
Not a great week of football. Oh. I don't.
Now, there's some games, though.
But there's not
as a whole, no.
Because of how last week worked out, there's not as many important games this week,
mm-hmm.
which –
But there's still going to be some good. There's a couple games that are must-watch TV.
Yep.
Ravens-Bengals might not be one of those.
No.
I'm taking the Ravens.
Ravens.
All day, all three.
Patriots. We're taking the Ravens and John Harbaugh. Who are you taking, JP?
Taking the Ravens.
Oh, you're going to ride on our coattails again.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it out of the gate.
Well, now he's nervous because he's falling back.
Mm-hmm.
Patriots at the Dolphins.
Pats.
I'll take the Pats.
I was tempted to take the Dolphins, but it means more than Patriots.
They got a seed online, Patriots.
Yeah, Patriots have number one seed online. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
Okay. Bears-Vikings.
I think the Vikings only because I think they want to come out and show that they're that they like their head coach, want to play for him, and that it was not as big a deal as the media made of the situation with Xavier Rhodes and Terrence Newman last week.
I'm going Bears.
I'm going Vikings.
Where is it at?
It's in Minnesota.
I'm taking the Vikings.
Okay. Loud place. Bills at the Jets. No Rex Ryan. And, boy, how did they handle
I'm
that
taking
situation,
the Bills,
by the way.
I'm taking Anthony Lynn.
I'm going Anthony Lynn, too. The Jets are
even
a mess.
Even with E.J. Manuel at the quarterback.
I'm taking Anthony Lynn.
The Jets are a mess. Todd Bowles might get fired. Ownership says it's not going to happen, but that doesn't mean anything. And I think Anthony Lynn's a pretty popular guy in that locker room. I think they'll play hard for him.
All right. I'm going Bills as well.
He was going to take the Jets before we opened our mouths, Tony.
Cowboys at the Eagles.
Make him pick first.
Cowboys.
Yeah, Cowboys.
I'm going to go Eagles. I think they get. I think they take Dak Prescott out early. I think Ezekiel Elliott will have minimum reps. Tyron Smith is not playing. They're going to rest him for sure. I think there's going to be a number of Cowboys. They have the number one seed wrapped up, a bye, and they're taking no chances. And I think the Eagles will finish strong.
Browns at the Steelers.
Steelers.
I'll go Browns. Why not? They're on a roll right now.
Steelers.
I got to steal one here.
Oh, jeez.
Come on now. Steelers are done. Hey, they're going to pack it in, too.
Big Ben might not play.
That's what I'm saying. Thank you. But it's not that crazy.
They can bring Michael Vick back and beat the Browns.
Oh, stop. Panthers at the Buccaneers.
Bucks.
Yeah, Bucks still.
Who's that? Who's?
It's in Tampa Bay. Panthers, Buccaneers.
I'll go Bucks. Neither team's playing for anything.
That's a sweep there. Texans, Titans. The Texans are the division champs.
I'm going Titans.
You are?
Wow. I'm not. I'm going Texans.
I think the Titans.
It's in Nashville.
The Texans have nothing to play for. I mean, they're going to the playoffs. Their seed's set. You listen to the comments of the Titan players. They like Mike Mularkey. I think they want to finish off 9-7. You have two quarterbacks. Neither's any good. I like the Titans.
Jeffrey?
I'm going to take the Titans.
Talked him into it, Tony. Exotic smash mouth, huh?
I think the running game.
Two running games. Yeah. I mean, which is the better running
quarterback
game?
Quarterback play. I mean, it's hard to say that, boy, the Titans have Matt Castle. They're not going to do any good. You know what? They still got a running game.
It's not like Tom Savage is lighting it up.
No, but he might get some numbers this week.
Gets that secondary.
That's
right.
True. Saints at the Falcons. 4:25 kickoff.
Saints.
Ooh. Falcons have to – if the Falcons win – and the Seahawks lose, the Falcons are the two seed and get a bye. They're playing to win.
Doesn't matter.
I'm going with the Falcons.
Drew Brees.
Falcons for me.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Raiders at the Broncos. No Derek Carr.
I don't know if the Broncos want to even play, though.
I'm going with Raiders. Matt McGloin.
Yeah, Broncos are all angry right now.
Angry.
They might be in the parking lot ready to go home. So I'm going Raiders.
Raiders.
Cardinals at the Rams. Ugh.
Cardinals.
Ugh. Yeah, I'm with you, Tony. Cardinals.
Yeah, Cardinals.
Okay, clean. Rams a lot of clean sweeps here.
Rams have a really good punter.
He's got a lot of practice.
They do.
Chiefs at the Chiefs at the Chargers.
Chiefs.
Chiefs all day.
Yeah.
Chiefs win, Raiders lose. They win the division, have a bye.
Yeah, Chiefs.
Okay, clean sweep. Seahawks or the 49ers.
Oh, that's a tough game now. I'm really concerned about that one. I'll take the Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a chance the 49ers are winning.
Give me the Seahawks, too. Jeff?
Take the Seahawks.
49ers. Come on, take the 49ers.
No. Giants at the Redskins.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Good football game. Giants are set at the five spot. Cannot move up or down.
You got to pick your guy.
The Redskins, if they win, they're in. As long as the Lions and Packers don't tie. I'm going with the Redskins because I pick them every week.
Mm-hmm. I'm going with the Giants.
No other reason, really.
Giants on the road for me.
Motivation tells you the Redskins are the only team playing for anything.
Yeah. Logs?
I'm going with Tony on this one. I'm going Redskins.
Okay. I'm going to get some separation there. So, for the NFC North, Packers-Lions for the division title on Sunday Night Football, game 256 of the season.
At Detroit?
In Detroit.
Why don't you pick first, JP? so you don't ride our coattails.
Oh, that's a great call. The Packers are hot right now. The Lions, they got a fight to get in. Packers for me.
It's win or go home for both teams. Yeah. If the Redskins win. If the Redskins right. lose, they're both in.
Packers for me. They're hot. And the quarterback's playing great.
Yeah, I'm going Packers. They were 4-6. Aaron Rodgers said they're going to get on a roll and win out. They've won 5 in a row.
I'm taking Detroit. They're at home.
It's a bad pick, Jeff.
I don't think it's a bad pick. I think it's going to be a very close game.
Then pick them.
No, I think it's a coin flip.
Oh, okay.
A bad pick is you picking the Browns over the Steelers. That's a bad pick.
We'll find out next week if that was a bad pick or not.
Oh,
how about that?
That was a bad pick.
So the picks.
The Lions over the –
good, bad, or indifferent. They are in for Week 17. The Jaguars and the Indianapolis Colts. Can the offense replicate this and do it again next week?
Yes. Well.
You mean this week? Yes, they can.
The
corners aren't very good for these guys either, by the way. Vontae Davis is better than anyone Tennessee has, but you watch them. Him.
Let me say this.
He gave us some stuff against the Raiders.
They can replicate the performance, but not to the level that they were able to do it at against the Tennessee Titans. You know, the Colts, first of all, their offense is going to have some production just because it's Andrew Luck and Colts offense, and it's going to make it tougher to get the possessions on offense. So, yeah, I think it's going to be – I think it's a good game.
And pass rush will be better. Pass rush from the Colts will be better than it was when we played them in London. Trent Cole's back.
Yeah, but he's ancient.
But he's better than what – I mean, him and Robert Mathis rotating are better than Robert Mathis every play.
Yes.
Because Robert Mathis can't go every play.
Neither one – I mean,
My goodness, he broke Derek Carr's leg.
Yeah, but it wasn't like it was a great play.
What do you mean? He whipped Donald Penn, a good player.
No, I
just watch it again. Yes, Donald Penn fell on his face.
Donald Penn had a terrible game.
Awful game.
Well, and you were talking and bragging about him earlier.
I honestly was embarrassed. I wanted to go back.
I was watching the film, and I'm going, is this the guy that Pacelli was telling me might be the best left tackle in football?
Well, I changed my opinion on that. It's Jason Peters. I watched him now. He's better. But you said the same thing coming into our game, how well Donald Penn was playing.
Yeah, no, he was playing very, very well.
That was awful.
It was terrible.
He got whipped.
Donald Penn had a horrendous game against the Colts. Didn't cost him. You know, I mean, they still won the game, but it cost the quarterback.
Quarterback broke his leg. Might cost him in the playoffs.
You know? But, boy, doesn't Robert Mathis look like he's
– ancient?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's done.
I mean, he's
– they don't have –
He's got knee brace, elbow brace, and he doesn't move like he used to.
Defensively, they have –
But he was – man, he's one of the greatest players to play the game.
He hasn't had a sack the last three meetings with Jacksonville, and he had a long run of sacks in a row against the Jags.
I think they can replicate what they did last week against this Indy defense. I don't think this defense is very good. They have some – I like – some of their young players, Antonio Morrison, Jeff and I are both talking about, the rookie out of Florida. He's a good football player. Eric Walden's a good player. I was disappointed watching Vontae Davis play because I think he's a pretty good corner. Wasn't great in coverage, refused to tackle anybody. After that, their secondary is really suspect. They just have guys in the interior. I mean, David Perry, Hassan Ridgeway was getting his rear end
David
kick.
Perry was pretty good last year.
He's just okay.
Yeah, and I don't
Henry
know what's
Henry Anderson's a stiff guy, try hard.
Well, he's stiff because he's just not 100% recovered from the ACL of last year.
That's my
last
point.
Year he was playing pretty well.
So I think they can, JP. I think they can run the ball against these guys if any of the backs are healthy.
That's the big question in this
I expect A-Rob and Marquise Lee to get after these corners. And we should protect just fine. I think that – they should score 28-plus points on this defense.
Ooh.
Really?
If I was locking games, if Joe didn't ruin the locks this year, I would lock this one.
But you're
but
not.
I can't.
You're not going back on that.
Can't go
this would be the week to do it. They just could have coming off a win. They're feeling confident about themselves.
We're hot.
The Colts aren't that good.
We're hot.
And you're not going to lock it.
Can't.
Here's the crazy thing. As bad as the Colts were against the Raiders, they still fought back and made it a one possession game.
Oh, I'm not
game.
Saying, yeah, I'm saying we're going to score points. What scares me to death is number 12 for them, Andrew Luck, because he, when they stopped trying to run the ball and decided to spread out the Raiders and said, Andrew, will you please save our lives? He almost did it by himself.
He almost did against the Jags, too, early in the season.
That's what scares me. He's 12.
Hey, Happy New Year, guys. Tony Maselli, Jeff Lagerman,
JP.
Max Hoffman, Joe Fortunato. Love you, too, Tony. This is JP Shadrick saying good night. Thanks for listening and watching Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.